You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Brother Osteen used to always say, my pastor used to always say, cornbread and beans. You know, but we need cornbread and beans, amen? You know, steak's good, but you know, you don't eat steak every single day. You've got to have some cornbread and beans. I think a lot of times it's the simple things we let slip anyway. Things even that we know. Truth in one sense like that is recognizable. I mean, when you hear something that resonates with your soul and your spirit, something that burns and comes alive and you go, yes, it's because you have heard it and you have seen it and that all came together. Actually, it's reminding, it's repetition, it's repeating it over and over. That's how we get grounded in the truth. That's what you do in school. You go over principles over and over. And finally, one day, you get it. But you didn't get it the first time you heard it. You had to hear it several times. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Romans 10:17. Quote a lot out of Romans 10 today, but anyway. So you have to hear it over and over. A lot of times, it's something you heard here, and you heard there, and you saw here, and you saw there. You experienced it here or there. And all of a sudden, one day, you hear it maybe in a message, or you know, or you're reading your Bible or praying, and it comes alive. Well, it came alive because you recognized it. Amen? I always use this classic example every time I have a guest minister come through. And they'll preach on something, and y'all just get so excited, and you think it's wonderful. And you forget, I just taught a series on that last week. No, but that's good. If I hadn't taught it last week, you wouldn't have got it when that person came. You know, and that's, you know, we've got to get the ego out of the way. You know, ego is edging God out, so just, you know. Anyway, but because you heard it enough, you finally got it. Maybe someone said it a little differently. Maybe someone used a different example. But if you hadn't heard it all that other time, all those other times, you wouldn't have got it. So when you hear something, you say, oh, man, goodness, I heard that. Listen up. You may get something really, you may really start coming alive this time. There may be something here you missed. You've heard it, sure, but you might not have heard it with a hearing ear. You might not have heard it quite enough. Just one more time might be what you need. That's why we don't quit studying. Don't quit coming to church. Amen. Quit praying. Quit serving God. You don't ever reach a plateau where you've got it all or know it all. Hello? You keep coming. You keep studying because it's always rich. I'm amazed as the years go by how many things burn and come alive and leap at me out of the pages. Things I've preached on, I've quoted, you know, I've got memorized and years of study. And yet, there's still truth. There's just so much truth in here. This is a revelation. It's not a newspaper. This is more current than a newspaper. This will tell you about things to come. Are you with me? Hallelujah. Okay, Psalms 1. Have you found it? Psalms were just praises. I mean, David wrote several of them. He didn't write them all, but he wrote several of the Psalms. Psalms 1, tremendous teaching here when you think about fellowship. Everybody say fellowship. That's what I really want to minister on. We'll see how it goes. Usually I start out in a direction. We just see if we stay in that direction. Or as I often say, we jump off that diving board and we pray that there's water in the pool. But fellowship is vitally important as a Christian, as a believer. You have to have good fellowship. I mean fellowship after you leave this building. Fellowship after you're out of the service. You need Christian friends. You need people that know Jesus to hang around with. If you don't get that, you're never going to get grounded and you're never going to get solid in God. And you can pray, you can read your Bible, you can show up when the church opens up, but if you don't have any Christian fellowship and the people you hang around with are not Christians, now I understand we work and you have to work with people that aren't saved. That's fine, I understand that. I'm not saying quit your job. Be a light and be a witness on that job. Take your Bible to work. Stand up for Jesus. Pray over your meals. Are you with me? Do something to signify that you are a Christian. Because if you don't, you'll give in to the pressure. Got a right and two yes and a nod. Okay, I'm just trying to help you. Just trying to help you. Fellowship is defined as two fellows in the same ship. Make it simple. Amen? We're going the same direction. We're in the same boat. Find someone in the same boat going the same direction. Find somebody going to heaven like you're going to heaven. And hang around those kinds of people. Get involved with church fellowships. You know, churches have fellowships for men and women and youth and young adults and things like that. And then Christians hang out together. You know that? We actually do that during the week. We talk to people. I'll talk to people if they come up to me. I'm always trying to be real nice. But I, you know, I hang out with Christians.
Amen.
Woo!
Amen.
Just trying to strengthen you, trying to get you strong in the Lord. Amen. And that's why the Bible talks about going to church, why it talks about forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Even more so as you see the day approaching. What day? The coming of the Lord. And in that same chapter, he talks about, well, that same book, he talks about provoking one another to good works. We ought to encourage each other to good works. See, like it or not, we are somewhat of a sponge. That's just the way we were designed. That's the way we were made. We're like reflectors in one sense. We soak up what we're around, and we reflect what we're around. That's just a fact. That's the way God made us. We're not God, and we're never going to be God. And that's okay. We know who God is, and we're going to serve Him. We're going to worship Him. We're going to stay around Him. We're satellites orbiting or revolving. We're satellites around the sun. Okay, get too scientific on here. I won't get too scientific. I'll get lost. We're adjectives, and He's the noun. We're satellites, and He's the sun. That's what happened to Adam and Eve. That was their problem. They tried to be nouns, and they were just adjectives. You need to understand there's someone you're going to compliment. There's someone you're going to follow. There's someone you're going to be like. And you need to make sure that's Jesus. Yes. You need to make sure that your example is Him. And the people you hang around with are people that love Him. Are you with me? Now, I'm not talking about not ministering to people. Of course we minister to people. Of course we work in the world. I understand that. But we as a light and as a witness, and our fellowship should be with Christian people. That's going to keep us strong, and that will help strengthen others also. That's just the way we're designed. You know, you're like ground. Now, don't go out here and say, Pastor just called me dirt. Well, in a sense, we are. We grow what's planted in us, you know. And if we're around the wrong stuff, it'll get in us. If we're around the right stuff, that'll get in us. And it's evidence after a while what you've been around. You can't hide it, see, because whatever is planted is going to grow. Nothing's going to be hidden eventually because it'll come out in the way you talk. It'll come out in the way you think and the way you pray and the way you believe or don't believe. It'll come out because whatever you've been around is going to get in you and it's going to affect you. And so it's important. God knows that. And this is good news. Now we understand this. If that's the way it is, and it is, then let's hang around Christians and that's what we'll grow. That's what we'll produce. You get around Christian marriages, your marriage will be better. Sure, you start hanging out with Christians and going to church services with Christians.
Amen.
Hello. It'll help your marriage. It'll give you a better example of what marriage should be. And you know what? You can be an example to others as the way it should be. Some people just don't know what it should be. They don't know what a marriage should be because they're hanging around people who don't even serve God.
Right.
People hollering at each other and, you know, beating on each other. Wives beating husbands and husbands beating wives. And, are you with me? It goes both ways. You know, and you think, well, that's just the way it is. Or maybe you're raised in a home where your daddy just hollered all the time and hollered at your mama all the time, or your mama hollered at your daddy all the time. They're arguing all the time. And you grow up, you get married, and you start hollering. You start arguing. That's the way it's supposed to be. No, that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Are you with me? But you don't know that if you don't have the right fellowship. You know, if you don't see a good example, because we're going to pick up what we're around. That's just a fact. You know why I dress up like this? Because that's what, you know, that's what you do. Because I'm here in Wills Point, Texas. I heard that, Melissa. Melissa said, because that's what your wife laid out for you. I'll have you know, I actually ironed my shirt today. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Fixed my own breakfast. Come on. Come on. So you know Brenda's taking a healing. You're going to have to really pray for her. Boy, if I do that, something, man, she needs prayer. But the point I was making, I dress like this because of the people I'm around when it comes to ministers and churches and what's accepted and not accepted. And that's not a bad thing. Are you with me? And we don't dress quite as much on Wednesday nights, and that's fine. But, you know, I speak English because I was raised in this country. I mean, I just raised here, and that's what I learned. And, you know, you pick up what you're around. Some of these things are good, but you can pick up bad things too. You can pick up bad habits, or you can pick up good habits. You can be a negative person and hateful person, a mean person, from being around negative, mean, hateful people. Hello. And of course, the sign of maturity is begin to recognize that. Recognize, hey, you know what? I got to work on this. This is wrong. I was raised wrong, if that's the case. No reflection on your parents now. God bless them. We're not here to drag that out, you know. Your future is your decision now. You might not have been raised right. God bless them. Bless your parents. Don't you hold bitterness toward your parents. You forgive your parents. They probably did the best they could do. So this is not a lesson on being a victim. No, no, no. We're not victims. No, sir. I heard a great series T.D. Jakes taught one time. It says, forever a victim, comma, I don't think so. Only T.D. could preach that, but man, it was good. We're not victims. Were we mistreated? Sure, that could happen. Were we raised in a dysfunctional home? Sure, that could happen. Have there been abuses in our past? It could happen. Sure it has. But what are we going to do now? What are we going to do now? We're not just wiping out blame. We're not saying there's not problems. But I'm telling you what, your future is as bright as you want it to be. Your future is as bright as your faith in God. You can stand right now as a new creature in Christ Jesus with all things new and start living for God, and you can change your future. You can make a difference. Hallelujah. And you can, and you should. You should. And you will. If you follow along some of the steps that God talks about. Psalms 1, perfect example. Everybody ready? Man, I'm ready. Woo. Blessed is the man. Psalms 1, verse 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. Now, there's a lot of counsel out there. There's a lot of ideas, a lot of advice out there. I'm amazed at when talking about marriages, some people have marital problems. They start talking to people they work with, don't even know God. Well, here's what I do. Well, good Lord, I wouldn't be listening to that. What are you talking about? They don't even know God. They don't even go to church. They don't even believe in Jesus. And you're sitting there listening to them, and they're telling you, you know, they've probably been married 3 or 4 times, and telling you how to make this thing work. Usually they don't tell you how to make it work. They usually just tell you to go, leave, get another one. That's usually the ungodly counsel that you get. But see, ungodly counsel is counsel that discludes God. Doesn't have God in it. So you need to get in the Word of God. Find out what God has to say. Don't walk in ungodly counsel. Why? Because you want to be blessed. And God wants to bless you. But to be blessed, there's certain things you need to do. You need to hang around the right people. And don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, I was raised to do this. I was raised to do that. Well, I hope you're raised right. But listen, if what you're raised to do is wrong, stop that insanity. Get quiet in this Presbyterian church. Walk not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of the sinner. Now, that's interesting because a lot of times we say, well, we're just there. We're not doing anything. We're just standing there. Yeah, but, you know, think about standing in a road. Even if you're on the right road, did you know if you just stand in the middle of the road and you don't do anything, you're going to get run over. Yeah. Sure. So don't even stand in the path of the sinner. Woo, hallelujah, preacher. You preaching good. Hallelujah. This will help you. This will help you. You understand, I'm not saying you don't have business with people. You don't work on jobs and have neighbors and the grocery store and all these kinds of things. Of course, we don't stick our nose up to anybody because, but for the grace of God, there go I. We have no stones to throw. All of us were lost at one time. Now we're saved. So if someone is lost, we pray for them. We have compassion toward them. But we don't fellowship or hang around with them. If we're trying to minister to them, that's one thing. But we don't spend our time with people that are lost unless it's to minister to them or to pray for them or maybe get them to come to church if that's the case. Because what will happen in our trying to be nice and compromising our values here, we'll begin to take on those wrong attributes. You know, you get around somebody that's critical all the time critical, 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 you'll start getting critical. You'll just pick it up. And have the best intentions, the greatest intentions. But then you get to where you're just criticizing everything. And you know, anybody can do that. Nobody's perfect. I'm not perfect. This church's not perfect. You're not perfect. Your marriage's not perfect. But when you start picking at the things that are wrong, instead of strengthening the things that are right. You know, one thing I counsel with people, you know, in a marriage is to start picking out good things about each other. Start saying good things about, well, he doesn't ever do this, or she doesn't ever do this. Well, no, you're being critical. You know, you can't antagonize and help at the same time. I mean, if your thumb were hurting, you wouldn't just keep hitting it. At some point, you got to help it. Isn't that right? You got to nurture it, see? And really, as far as marriage is concerned, you want to be the best you can be for each other, and you want to make each other the best they can be, and you ought to give your life to making that marriage great. And if you see faults, pray for them. Don't sit there and point it out. Start saying a word over that person. Say the word over your mate. Say the word over your wife or over your husband. Start thinking about all the great things. Start praising him for the good things. Mm. Well, how marriage got into this. Well, y'all must need some help out here. I don't know. But it says he doesn't stand in the path of the sinner, nor he sits in the seat of the scornful, critical attitude all the time. Goodness gracious. I mean, I've never heard a preacher I couldn't criticize. No, wait a second. I've never had a church member I couldn't criticize. I've never preached a sermon myself I couldn't criticize. I've never done anything I've ever done I couldn't criticize myself. But you know, that's a nowhere street to go down that road, a scornful and critical way. What you have to do is begin to look for the good. We don't ignore the bad. If there's sin, we need to repent of it. Stay with me. We don't want to repeat it. But you can't just keep beating yourself over the head for something. You got to get over the thing. Quit looking in that rearview mirror and start looking in that windshield. Amen? And there are people that are stuck in the past. They're stuck on faults that people have made, stuck on things done wrong in churches or done wrong in marriages or done wrong with a married person, a wife or a husband or whatever. And you're not supposed to. Don't be hanging around people like that. You know, I don't know. I just kind of gravitate toward people that are positive. I want to be around positive people. I want to be around can-do people. I don't want to be around people who always complain about the manna and the quail and the... Hello. I like to be around Caleb and Josh. They're can-do people. We can do this. Let's go get them. Murmurs and complainers, they didn't make it to the promised land. I don't want to be there. I want to be blessed, hallelujah, to be a blessing. I want to be a help and a hope and an answer. I want to make a difference. I want to make a mark for God, hallelujah. And you know, I'm going to have to go forward. I'm going to have to start believing and step out there and maybe take some risk. Yeah, it's risky sometimes to love people and help people and not just continually criticize. But anybody can criticize. Those that row the boat don't have time to rock it. And we're going somewhere. Amen? Blesses a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinner, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Don't hang around those kind of people. Now, if that happens to be your husband or your wife, now I'm not saying leave them. Obviously, I want you to pray for them. You know, don't. I can hear it now. Woohoo, there's my out. I've been looking for that loophole. Right there, Psalms 1. I'm gone, baby. I'm out of here. No. That's not, no. We're talking about your fellowship. That's something to pray about. To pray over your husband. And don't be elbowing him in the ribs right now either, okay? Don't. Or your wife, whatever. Pray for bruised ribs when this is all over, you know. His delight. His meaning this blessed man. Now, just take it as is. Just take it as you read it right here. If you want to be blessed, this is what you got to do and what not to do. Tells you things not to do. You know, in a church situation or a marriage situation, family situation, business situation, you ever been on a job and just somebody's always talking about the boss and talking about the company and yeah. And you're just miserable all day long. You go there and you go to work, you got to put up with that and listen to that. You know, it just ruins your day. And, you know, just start, just get with a program. They're paying your salary, you're getting money. You know, do a job. Come on. Pray for the company. Pray for that person. In fact, tell them you don't want to hear that. Go tell somebody else that. Kind of insulting anyway to think that you would listen to that. They think you will listen to that. They think you want to hear that.
Right. Amen.
Y'all not shouting and hollering very much on this sermon. Okay. Church, same way. Marriage, same way. Don't, you know, I won't let anybody talk about my wife. Are you kidding? That is not going to happen. I don't even refer to her as the old lady. I fear God and I fear Brenda. That's why I've been faithful to Brenda all these years, you know. Two reasons. I fear God and I fear Brenda. But anyway. No, I love Brenda. I honor her. I cherish her. I uplift her. I respect her. I don't make jokes about her. Are you with me? I mean, if they are, they're very lame. They're not just, you know, gouging type. Grading type jokes, how she doesn't do this. Are you kidding? I would be lost without Brenda. Amen. I didn't need an amen on that. Okay. I'm trying to be transparent. Y'all don't jump on the bandwagon here, okay? But I mean, I need her. She compliments me. She is a totally different personality than I am. And that's good. That's a wonderful thing. But you know what? She loves God. She loves the Word. She loves Jesus. She's a believer. She's positive. I need that. She keeps me straight. What a wonderful marriage to have, you know, when one's down, the other's up. And, you know, I can't make a negative confession. I can't do anything. She'll get on my case. I mean, that's good. I need that. Sometimes I want to just, you know, because I'm killing myself with my tongue or sabotaging myself with my confession or whatever, you know, and she says, Or she'll say this, would you like me to agree with you in Jesus' name that that would happen? No. Well, you know, the Bible says, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of Jesus. You know, so that's when you want to take her out, you know. No, I'm not talking about going to eat either. But you know what? You need that. You need that. You need that. You need Christian fellowship. You need Christian marriage. That's why it's so important to marry someone who's a Christian. That's why the Bible talks so much about who you hang around with, who you date. That's why parents, Christian parents, seemingly are so hard on kids about dating Christians. I was. I told all my kids, they are not going to date someone who's not a Christian. You are not going to date someone who's not a Christian. Hello. And they didn't like it. They do now. You know, looking back. But it was important who they hung around with. It was important who they spent time with. It was important who they dated, as it were. Right. Why? Because I wanted them to have a future. I wanted them to love God. I wanted their children to serve God. Are you kidding? I have prayed that all my life as a Christian, as a believer. More than any other thing, I put my faith, and Brennan and I have put our faith in the fact that our children are going to serve God and everybody they hook up with all the days of their life. I'm not going to be one of those preachers that all those their kids are wild. And are you kidding? And our children are all serving God. They're all in this church, all involved very heavily into this church. And their mates, all the people they married, love Jesus. All the people they married. I got five kids. I just had to say that four of them are married and have nine grandchildren. They all love Jesus. And I'll tell you what, we're doing a lot in missions. We're doing a lot in making a difference in this city, in this world, and so on and so forth. International Outreach Church is making an impact. But I'll tell you, the biggest impact for me is my family. That's my biggest mission field. And that should be your biggest mission field. So it's important that you hang around the right people. Hang around Christian families. Hang around people that are raising their children in church, in the Word, so you can pick up good things. And so you could be an example of that. Are you with me? And make sure your children hang around Christian people. That's not being mean. You say, well, no one else does that. Well, I don't know about anybody else, but it's for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. The last thing I want to do is what everybody else is doing. That's usually the argument that most kids come up with. Well, Dad, Mom, everybody else is doing it. Well, that's a good reason not to do it. Hello? And you know what? They're going to call you weird. They're going to call you strange. The world's going to think you're hard. But you know, it's not about the world. It's about Jesus. It's about how He views us. It's about how we're serving Him and whether we're doing the right thing in His sight or not. That's what matters. Woo, hallelujah. So we're blessed when we don't take that ungodly counsel. We're blessed when we don't stand the path of the sinner and we don't sit in the seat of the scornful. Our delight, here it is. Here's the delight. Our delight is in the law of the Lord. We delight in it. We delight in the Word. And in His law, He meditates day and night. I love that. That's that Hebrew word, haggah, meditates. It actually speaks. He says it. The word haggah is translated speak many times in the Old Testament. In fact, where He says here in His law, He just meditates day and night. He's saying He speaks it day and night, actually to Himself. And that's okay to talk to yourself. That's wonderful to talk to yourself, as long as you don't say, what? Or I didn't get that, you know. But you can talk to yourself if you're talking the Word to yourself. Greater is He that's in me than He that's in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I'm more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. He gives me the victory through Christ Jesus. He always calls me to triumph in Christ. I am born of God, and whatsoever born of God overcomes the world. Hallelujah. This is the victory overcomes the world. My faith. A lot of times I build myself up facing a trial or in a crisis or whatever. You know, God's with me. God before me. Who can be against me? You know, I'm not alone. I've never been alone since I got saved. I've never been alone a day in my life since I got saved. He has been with me. He has never forsaken me. He's never failed me. He'll not fail me now. And this thing that comes against me, it doesn't matter how big it is. All that matters is how big my God is. My God's bigger than this. Hallelujah. I may feel like a shell of a man. My knees may be knocking. My lip may be quivering. But I'm going to kneel on those knocking knees, and I'm going to pray with those quivering lips. And I'm going to believe God. And God's going to come through because He has over and over and over again. And I tell myself that, and I build myself up with that. See, my delight is in the law of the Lord. In His law, I meditate and talk to myself day and night. Day and night. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Doesn't matter what it feels like. Doesn't matter what 1,000 say. 1,000 will fall and 10,000 at my right hand, but it'll not come nigh me.
Amen.
See, you got to stir yourself. You got to shake yourself. Hang around Christian people. Hang around the Word. Hang around the Bible. Amen? And God will come through. He always come through. God's not a man He'd lie, nor the son of man He'd repent. And God, you know, He doesn't care. He doesn't care about what everybody else says. All He's concerned about for you is what you say. It doesn't matter what everybody else says about you.
Right.
What matters is what you say.
Yeah,
well, so-and-so said, or Mama said this, or Daddy said, well, I hope Mom and Daddy said good things. I hope you're raising a Christian home. But well, my boss said this or that. Well, now, I don't know what everybody else said. I hope they all said good things. But you know, if they didn't, all that matters is what God says. And if you'll say what God says, you can have what God says. You can have.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Blessed is the man. Blessed. Whose delight is in the law of the Lord. You delight in it. You hear a bad report and you get all excited and think, oh, praise God, I know what the Bible says about that. You delight in God's law. You're unmoved by the bad report. That's what Psalms 112, I believe it's the 7th verse, talks about a righteous man that says, he shall not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord. Man, get a fixed heart. Hang out with the Word. Hang out with God's people. Amen. Check out your fellowship. Where are you spending most of your time? Are you spending some time in the Word? Are you spending time with God's people? Or are you spending time hearing all the other junk out there? A lot of voices in the world. Lots of voices. Make sure we're hearing God's voice. Amen. His delight's in the law of the Lord. In His law does He meditate day and night. Hallelujah. That's all day, all night. Man, all day and all night. That's talking the Word all the time. That's thinking about it, meditating on it. You know, talking to your neighbor, talking to your friends, talking to your family. You know, talking, well, you know, the Bible says this, the Bible says that. But, oh, my goodness, you're one of those Bible nuts. Yes, I am. I'm a nut for Jesus. Whose nut are you? You say, well, people call me crazy. Listen, people call me crazy before I got saved. What's new? There's always somebody's going to call you crazy. I mean, that's going to happen no matter where you are. Well, they're a little fanatic. Well, yeah, and so are you and everybody else is about something. Why don't we be a little fanatic about Jesus? Let's be sold out to Him. Hallelujah. And let's make a stand, praise God. Stand for something. If you don't stand for something, you'll fall for everything. So it says here, His delight's in the law of the Lord. He meditates or talks it, speaks it day and night. And He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I love that. See, where roots are deep in the Word, deep in the water of God's Word, drawn in sustenance and strength in the time of trouble. The wind blows, but our roots are deep. And the deeper our roots are, the longer we'll stand there. See, a tree, a big oak tree, just stays and it stands. Its roots are deep. The wind blows. The rain comes. Oh, storms are going to come in life. We live in a broken, fallen world. But if your roots are deep, and if you're drawing strength and sustenance from God's Word, then you're going to make it. You will make it. Amen?
Amen.
He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Plant yourself. This is interesting. A tree doesn't really have a choice where it plants itself. You do. A tree doesn't have a choice where it goes and grows. It has to be. It's planted where the farmer plants it. But you can set your roots wherever you want to. You can plant yourself wherever you want to. And He's telling us here, watch where you plant yourself. You know, after Peter, Jesus told Peter He was going to deny Him 3 times before the rooster crowed in the morning. Before the cock crowed, He says, 3 times you're going to deny Me. Peter said, no, I'd never do that. Not to the death, I'd never do that. And the Bible says when they got Jesus and they abducted Him, you know, and they came to the Garden of Gethsemane with the temple guards and they got Him and took Him, that Peter kind of snuck into the camp there where the people were outside the temple. And it says He warmed Himself by their fire. Man, what a teaching. I mean, I love to just teach on that. You better watch whose fire you warm yourself up at. Because he sat there and they said, oh, we recognize you. You're one of those that follow Jesus. No, I don't know the man. They came back and said, oh, your speech betrays you. You're a Galilean. I don't know him. And it came a third time and he started cussing. That's what it says. He just said, I don't know the man. What happened to Peter? Peter warmed himself by the wrong fire. And that pressure of being in that wrong group. I mean, he didn't just wind up there. He sat down there amongst them. For whatever the reason was, curiosity, whatever, it affected him. See, it got on him because he was sitting at the wrong fire. Good question is, whose fire are you warming yourself up at? We're talking about, you know, what you do. Who you hang out with? What's your pleasure? You know, who do you hang around Christians or do you hang around? See, whoever you hang around with, you're going to pick up from them. You know it's the truth. Come on, man. I like to bow hunt, and you know I hadn't done it in a while, but I still got a bow. And I look at pictures a lot of times. And I deer hunted and hog hunted, and you know I used to hunt a lot of hogs with bows and everything. And I'm just amazed. I get around people that are hog hunting. They come off the hog hunt, and my vernacular starts changing a little bit. Big hog. That's a big hog. Yeah, I shot them with that bow. You did. Woo. Before long, I'm talking just like them. I'm just right in there with them because, you know, I've been there. I've been with the hog hunters. Hunting those hogs, tracking them. We start talking about, you know, the moves, you know, how where you positioned, where was he, how high up in that stand were you on the ground, and, you know, where'd you hit them? And, oh, boy, man, I mean, before long, I can't even talk anymore. I'm so absorbed with that, you know. Well, that's not a bad thing. Stay with me. I mean, because hog hunting's not bad. I want to make it real plain. It's in the Bible. They bow hunted in the Bible. They did. It's in the Bible. Okay. Scriptural to do that. Esau went and got some venison with his bow. He went and got it. It wasn't his fault Jacob betrayed him and went in there and gave the guy a bowl of beans and Isaac his dad. But anyway, the point I'm making is, see how subtly we do kind of conform to a group, and that's just kind of in talk and, you know, in the way we talk and so on and so forth. But you know what if it were sin? Well, if people were sinning and you were hanging around them, the pressure would be very plain. If you don't stand up and grab your Bible and say, I'm a Christian, y'all need Jesus. I know that sounds kind of weird, but if you don't do that, eventually you don't tell them you're a Christian. You don't say anything. I remember Brother Osteen talked about joining one of those health clubs one time. And Brother Osteen was something. He was something else. John Osteen, Joel Osteen's dad. And he was a witness. He was just a fireball. I've been with him in places where I remember we went to a prayer breakfast one time that Chuck Colson was hosting. Well, no, he wasn't hosting. He was the speaker, and they were hosting at this big denominational church. And people from all denominations were there. Well, you know, Brother Osteen, he's full of the Holy Ghost. He speaks in tongues, you know. And so we're in there with all the big churches in Houston. I mean, there's a lot of ministers there. It was preachers and associates. And so I went with Brother Osteen, and we were sitting at this table. It was a breakfast. And so they said, well, let's stand up and pray and bless the food. And so we joined hands to pray. And Brother Osteen, he just starts speaking in tongues right out loud, right in front of everybody. Well, glory to God, hallelujah. Thank you for this breakfast. The guy's praying up here, and everybody around us just... But that's, Brother Osteen was so bold. I mean, anyway, he went to this health club. He was a strong witness. He just didn't care. Went to this health club, he did. And he joined the health club. He was going to get in shape. And it was kind of funny. If you ever knew Brother Osteen, that's funny, him getting in shape. But anyway, he got in there and he was in the locker room getting ready. And he thought, how long am I going to come to this health club and not let them know I'm a Christian? He said, that's just not right. I need to let them know right. So he stands up on the bench. Oh, yeah. Starts, oh, yeah, that's Brother Osteen. And he just starts hollering out, thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord God, for strength today in the name of Jesus. And he's just hollering in the locker room. And he said he never had a problem. Everybody knew he was a Christian from that day forward. He'd get on a plane. This is one thing he loved to do. He'd get on a plane, find an empty seat back when they assigned seats. You know, this is years ago. And he'd sit down where there's no seats. And he'd take a track out and he'd put it in the seat beside him, in the front seat. And somebody would sit down, he'd go, what's this? And he'd start reading it out loud to him. Wow, accept Jesus and be saved. You ever see anything like this? Look at this. He would do that. Another thing he'd do when people sit down with a newspaper, he'd grab his Bible and he'd say, hey, you got the bad news, I got the good news. But he was real upfront about who he was. You know, you need never be ashamed of who you are. Never be ashamed of who you are. You are a Christian. You are a believer. That's what you are. And if you do that, that'll save you a lot of grief and misery. Stay with me. Because you'll start kind of making compromises when you don't. Because everybody wants to be accepted. Everybody wants to have friends. And there's nothing wrong with having friends. Just make sure they're good friends. You know, I liken it to when you're thirsty, everybody wants something to drink. There's nothing wrong with being thirsty. But you know, there's a lot of different kinds of liquids. You say they all wet the whistle. Yeah, but they don't all do you good. They do not all do you good. I mean, you can have clean water, you can have a mud puddle. They're both wet. There's whiskey and there's water. It's all wet. But see, just because you want something wet to satisfy your thirst doesn't mean everything wet is good for your thirst. Just because you want friends doesn't mean all friends are good friends. Just because you want fellowship and you want camaraderie, and that's a good thing. There's nothing wrong with camaraderie and fellowship, but you want to make sure it's the right camaraderie and it's the right fellowship. And that's what God's telling us here. Watch the people we hang around with. Watch what kind of fire we warm up at. Amen? Hallelujah. So he goes on and says this. I'll close this out. Is this helping anybody? I didn't get anywhere near as far as I wanted to. That's because y'all talk too much. Second verse says, his delight's in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate or talk to himself day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth his fruit in its season. You know what's happening? You're not bringing forth your fruit. You're not fulfilling your destiny. You're not seeing the call and the dreams of your life come to pass many times because you got your roots down in the wrong river. And if you want to see your destiny and your calling and your purpose in life be fulfilled, and you want to see fruit come past, make sure you've got your roots down deep in God's Word. Because you will find yourself in God. You'll lose yourself in Him, you'll find yourself in Him. Amen? And it says, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. He who, this blessed man, this man that hangs around God's people and His Word, this blessed man that will not hang around the counsel of the ungodly, the path of the sinner, or the seed of the scornful. This man who makes choices in the people that he hangs around with. This man or woman who chooses their friends wisely, their fellowship wisely, and spends time in God's Word. So if you want to succeed, it has a lot to do with who you're around. See, no one's a lone ranger. We need fellowship. But we need the right fellowship. We need church. We need the right church. Are you with me? And of course, this defines that, God's Word. Defines that. You ought to be in a church that moves you toward God, that convicts you of your sin, that moves you toward God, that actually encourages you, doesn't discourage you. Now, stay with me. Rebukes you, yes. Corrects you, yes. Convicts you, yes, but doesn't condemn you. There's a difference. It stands for something. We stand for something in our church. We stand for holiness. We stand for the Word. We stand for righteousness. But we don't condemn. Whatever you're in, you can come out of. Whatever you've been, you can turn it around. Hallelujah. Maybe you've been in drugs and jails. Listen to this. Maybe you've been in a homosexual relationship. That's sin. But you know what? You can be set free and you can come to Jesus. Maybe you've been in adultery. But God can forgive you and you can repent of it and you can come to Jesus. You know, God forbid we go over the congregation and just talk about our past lives. But there's all kinds of people in here come from all kinds of places. Some not so bad, some real bad. Some just turn your stomach. But it doesn't matter. If they come to Jesus, if they're good enough for Jesus, they're good enough for us. Amen. Come out of the lifestyle, yes. Come out of the sin, yes. We are against the sin, but we're not against the sinner. So you ought to get in a church where you can find out you can make it, but you got to break your fellowship. You got to break that fellowship you had before Christ and get in fellowship with people that are in Christ. And in so doing, you'll find your destiny. You'll be blessed. And you'll be a blessing. And you can help others. Hallelujah. Amen.